With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We might just be in France, but this is global. These players are icons. Their stories are noble. In fact, each story into the game is golden. It's way more than just a game. It's a player's story into the pitch and all that she overcame. It's football 2019, and this is its brand new face. Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Yo, 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 I'm Heath.
I'm Monkey.
And this is Football Inside Out.
Monkey, by the way, you're allowing me to do this again because of my freestyle yesterday. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're coming to you every single day from the Copa 90 Clubhouse in Paris, bringing you all the excitement from the 2019 Women's World Cup in France.
Please hit subscribe as well if you haven't done so already so you never miss an episode. And coming up today, we are hearing from Reading midfielder Farah Williams. And as part of our Unsung Icon series, we're looking at some of the people who are working hard behind the scenes of women's football. Today, we hear from director of Girl Power Organisation and captain of the Afghanistan women's team, Khalida Papau. But first up, these are the five things that you need to know going into your day.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Number one, Germany versus Nigeria. Finishes 3-0. Wow.
Yeah.
Germany came to life.
They turned up.
Yeah, and not only that, but Alexandra Popp, Germany's captain, marked her 100th appearance. Century Club. It's a good club to be in.
And her 48th goal. International goal.
Yeah, and that was the match winner.
I know. Not bad. Not
exciting.
Bad for a day's work.
Yeah, I mean, Germany, finally more impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't impress us in the group stages so much, but now they've come through and they've come alive. And we've spoken a lot about managing a tournament as a whole, and they might have just caught us by surprise.
Where was Asisat Oshoala?
I don't know.
I haven't read anything or seen anything, but she definitely didn't start.
I feel like I did not see her on the pitch.
No?
Well, I don't know why.
I might find out I was wrong there, but based on my two eyeballs, I looked on live score. Wasn't there.
We will investigate. Number two. Oof. Norway versus Australia. Went into extra time, then penalties, and Norway took the win. There is so much to talk about in this game. Probably the most exciting game. No, definitely the most exciting game of the tournament so far.
Yeah, but I have always found a balance for the necessary evil of referees. I'm losing that balance.
Yeah, there were two VAR decisions ruled out for two possible penalties. And I think it was one for each country. So it was a bit tit for tat. One of them she was brave enough to call a penalty, go see the VAR, and then take back. But actually, everyone thinks it was a handball.
Yeah, but Monkey, I think we're technically either at 20 or over 20 VAR so far in this World Cup,
yeah,
which
crazy.
Is ludicrous.
It's crazy.
And it's just a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah, we spoke about inconsistencies in the last podcast. We don't actually know the rules anymore.
Have you ever made a decision and you knew you were wrong, but at least you wore it with like confidence and you just have to like take it to your grave? I would rather them do that and just have this arrogant attitude of like, no, I'm the ref, I'm in control here, than this constant VAR being like, well, I've got somebody else watching too.
Yeah, I guess you can't do that now with VAR. It's impossible.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also Australia missed two penalties in the penalty shoot-off. It was an intense game.
PKs.
Yeah. I also think there was a potential red card on Sam Kerr.
I agree.
But also, Australia ended up getting a red card.
If the US wins the World Cup, will you say PKs on the show? Is that fair?
Once. I'll say it once.
Okay, fair.
Number three.
Heroes welcome. Hundreds of proud Argentine fans flocked to the Buenos Aires airport to greet their returning World Cup players. That's cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
I would have liked to be part of that group, but unfortunately we are in France. It would be nicer.
Yeah. I mean, it is cool to see, though, because of all the things happening in the Argentinian League, as well as just for women's rights in general, and just sort of the progress that's happening there, to know that it didn't live and die by a tournament, and based on their sort of progress and how far they go wasn't the only factor as to how the country and the people there would respond.
Yeah, welcome, and hopefully this will build on their next tournament and there'll be more away fans. Hang on one sec, going back to your point, what happens if England win the World Cup? What do you have to do?
I'll say pens, mate.
Okay.
That sounded Australian.
Yeah, that was a bit Australian. We'll work on the accent.
Yeah.
Number four, world football. Uganda recorded their first Africa Cup of Nations win in 41 years as they pulled off a surprise win against Congo, putting them top of the group against Egypt, who are hosting on goal difference.
Wow.
Go on, Congo. I mean, Uganda, not Congo. They're lost.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
The first African Cup of Nations win in 41. That is a long time.
Imagine not winning for 41 years. Wouldn't you just like, screw this, man?
Yeah. Like, do you think that they went into this going like, how many times do you think in the last 41 years were they like, today is the day? And they were like, they lose. Not to take the piss, but like, then finally it happened. Somebody was like, today is the day. And they're like, shut up, sit down. But they actually won. That's amazing.
There's someone going, I told you today was the day.
Yeah, you have to trust me. I'm your captain now. Give me the captain's band.
Number five, going into today.
Yes, England play against Cameroon. And then the winner will play against Norway, right?
Yep.
That's going to be some matchup.
Big game. I'm hoping that Norway, like, if England win, Norway are physically and emotionally absolutely knackered from what they've just been through.
I mean, it's a huge favor to whoever wins that game. I'm assuming England will win. But, like, that is a huge favor. 120 minutes. They look completely beat down at the end.
They did,
and that pitch looked heavy. And then the other match, France versus Brazil.
Mm-hmm. And the winner of that will play either the USA or Spain.
Do you, if when that match happens, are you planning on going to that? It's in Paris. Will you be
the
here?
The France-USA game?
Yeah.
I would absolutely love to go to that game if I'm here in Paris and not in Ibiza. That's the plan. Can we go together? Let's try and make a trip out of this.
Yeah.
Deal.
Well, who's going to do the podcast?
We can just... Matt, you want to do a podcast?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, we're all going. We're all in. It's a road trip. Yeah. So that's it. Those are the games and those are the five things you need to know going into your day.
Copper 90.
How you doing, Heath?
I'm good. They have this thing right now in Paris. It might be all over France, but I haven't checked for myself.
Yeah.
Called La Fête de Musique.
Festival of Music.
Is that the direct translation?
Maybe. I travel.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what it is apparently it's... I don't know how the best way to compare it. When I heard about it was that, oh, there's going to be like live musicians and bands on the streets, and it's sort of like a festival where everybody just sort of walks around and you have music. And then as the day started to kind of ramp up, there was like people were putting massive speakers outside of their like bars on the terrace. Mm-hmm. But like speakers you would put at like a music festival, not in front of a bar.
Right. Like big,
yeah.
Sub, like
big, yeah, just loud.
Systems.
And then next door would be another set of speakers playing their own loud music. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. You just kind of cruise around. Went and played football last night, came back into the city, and it was like The Walking Dead. Like, it was
in a good
Mardi
way?
Gras meets spring break meets, like, just think of any time that people have just had the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Like, all of that mashed into one is what it actually ended up being.
Were just there
like,
people with beads around their necks?
Oh, yeah. There was the glitter on the faces, beads around the... I mean, I don't know if people were getting, like, the beads thing like you have in Mardi Gras, but it was full-blown, like, excuse to just... be an absolute
have a party.
Shit show.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard like a drumming band walk down my street last night for like a good hour. I was like, what was that? First I thought it was a train, and then after 10 minutes I was like, that train is really long. I was like, oh no, wait, it's a drumming band.
But also just why is the train going down your street?
Yeah, I was like,
either way.
I didn't know, yeah.
That's a sign that like everyone should be sleeping because you're thinking of things like that. Also, I had a bit of a rough way home from football last night.
How was football, by the way? I was glad I couldn't come.
It was actually really fun. I'd had a next door to the clubhouse, they have happy hour every day, and they have buy one, get one free.
The bar literally next door?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I got a vodka martini. And they filled it to the top. And I was like, oh, okay, makes sense. Like, it's greens, you know, like a little bit more earth conscious to give me two in one cup. Yeah. Turns out that was one. Then they served me up the other. But it was like martini poured to the brim. So I had those two, and then the idea of playing football didn't sound that great anymore. Went for a run in the morning because I was convinced that everybody was going to do what I did after work and just start drinking and then go like, yeah, we probably shouldn't go. But everybody went, and I ended up having a good time.
You did? Did you win?
We lost, actually.
Oh,
so Les Ballons, who's one of the organizers of our clubhouse here, they also have like a Les Ballons in Japan, I believe. And it's a bunch of these guys that work in fashion are here for Fashion Week and just really, really good time. But a really high quality level, actually.
Japanese dudes, aren't they?
Japanese dudes, yeah. And all really, really, really cool. But came back into the city, got on an Uber Jump bike. For those that don't know, that is the electric assist bike in metropolitan cities around the world. And it makes pedaling really easy. You just sort of half pedal and it sort of shoots you forward. Turns out that I'm pretty sure Jump or Uber turned those off because of the festivals.
Oh.
And it's a very, very heavy bike. And I had run in the morning and then played football for an hour and a half and then had to ride multiple miles from where I got dropped off to my apartment through the crowds of like insanity. It was literally like a scene of Walking Dead. And I'm like pedaling through trying to like all streetlights were disregarded. I had heard from one of the people I was playing football with yesterday that like the emergency rooms were insane already.
Oh,
just
really?
Like broken ankles and like all kinds of stuff. It was pretty insane by midnight.
I can imagine it being a bit like Carnival in London.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Carnival in London, apart from maybe like Rio, is like the biggest street carnival. It's definitely the biggest street carnival in Europe.
Is it a Caribbean styled or a Brazilian? I mean, I guess Afro-Caribbean like heritage, I think Carnival comes from. But like, is it a more
it's,
of like...
It's such a mix because it's basically around like sound system music. But that can be anything from like Jamaican, like music from Jamaica or like jungle or like garage.
What sound system music?
So sound system music, I think basically the history of it is it would be like two sound systems, so two groups of people, and they would be battling it out. And it was all about like the people that you would bring and the MCs that you would bring, but it'd also be about how good the sound system was and how loud your sound system was, but also how good it sounded, not just like really, really loud. So it's all kind of based around that culture, but it's amazing. It's a great, free street party that goes on in West London for a whole bank holiday weekend in August, and it's absolute mayhem, but it's wicked.
Yeah. A friend of mine goes to, he's from Trinidad, and he goes to Carnival every year down in Trinidad, and they like party for a week with his like family and stuff. Like everyone goes out, and it's like him, his, I think, wife, his brother, his dad, and they're all basically like short shorts, no shirts for like a week.
So have you ever been to a carnival before?
I haven't. I've always wanted to go to Brazil. It looks crazy.
Yeah, me too. That'd be great.
There's always like small versions of things in towns around the US that have kind of a multicultural population.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have their own versions of it. But I've never really been to one myself.
It's also Pride Month here. Well, everywhere. But it's obviously being celebrated through this month. So I feel like there's so much going on this month.
It really is.
Including some great matches today.
Yes.
England, Cameroon, France, Brazil.
Would you think that of all of the possibilities that England got a pretty good matchup, or do you think this is
a tough one? I think anyone, once you get through to knockout stages, anyone's going to be tough. But I think that we did draw one of the weaker teams. Cameroon finished third, so they were one of the third place teams.
Brazil finished third.
That's true as well. But France, if they go all the way to the quarters and the States do as well, they're going to meet each other, which is quite interesting.
That is. It's a tragic ending for someone.
For somebody,
if they get there. I mean, like
exactly.
You said, once you get to the knockout rounds, it changes. The whole dynamic changes. It doesn't really matter how you got there. Anything can happen.
Yeah, basically everything else that happened in the tournament is irrelevant. Doesn't matter now.
Yeah.
And people peak and they drop off, people, teams, at different stages of the tournament. And like you said in the past, like sometimes it's better not to peak early. So I'm hoping that England will have a steady rise in the competition.
It's actually a philosophy that they try to stick to as well in Major League Soccer in the US is to not peak early, because you have a lot of teams come out flying eight matches unbeaten and then they hit their lull towards right before, because there's a playoff system. So you're trying to hit your peak heading into the playoffs, that you want to be rounding into form of a full season and not have making the playoffs but come off of like a rough like you made it because you had a good stint in the middle of the season or the early part of the season.
Yeah.
You want to be sort of hitting that stride at the end to be in form instead of it just being like an okay season.
And sometimes we forget as well because we get excited about the tournament, but it's a bit of a strange period for players because they've literally either just finished a season and some of them have like 2 days off. So like Tony Duggan had 2 days off between the Champions League final and going into camp. Or they're still in season. So all the US soccer girls, they're still technically in season. The season's carrying on without them. So they don't get much of a break. And the further you get down in the tournament, because you have so many games in such a short amount of time, your body's wearing out quicker because, you know, you've just literally finished however many months of football. Tony Duggan's back now from injury. She played the last game, so I'm excited to see her get back into the match.
You know what's interesting, though, is we had Abby Wambach in, did another podcast with her, which you guys will all get to hear soon. Mm. But what she was saying is that even the 23rd player that hasn't played a minute is still not 100% because of all of the factors of, it's just a high stress environment, right? And not only that, but you're coming off whether the middle of the season, long season, injuries, personal stuff. Even the player who hasn't set foot on the field, maybe took like a hit in training, has got a little knock, you know, you like multiple times a week when you're training like that, as you know, you're sort of battling something because you're competing. It's not like you're just sort of jogging around and then you play matches. Like, you're competing in training and everybody's carrying something, which is...
Have you ever hidden an injury because you wanted to play?
I think if you're hiding an injury, like a real injury,
yeah,
you'll get found out.
Yeah.
Like, you probably wouldn't be able to survive 90 minutes. I remember catching like a little hamstring, like a minor pop in the hamstring, and then sort of playing at 60% for the rest of the match. This is the worst thing I could have done.
Why did you want to stay on? What game was it?
I think it was probably the fourth or fifth hamstring injury that I had had in my career. And I was at a point where I just wanted to almost pretend it didn't exist, you know, and that, oh, this felt different because it was tiny and it must not have been a big deal. Maybe it was just like some scar tissue from previous injuries that was sort of breaking up. And I just sort of ignored it and could sort of played up to like fourth gear instead of like, I guess, six gears, finished the match, and then immediately regretted it after.
Was it like a power thing? You know, when you like push off, you couldn't generate that power to sprint?
Yeah, like you couldn't get into that sort of full extension where you really are firing on your hamstring. You could put a lot more of the burden on your quads or your hips or your glutes and not really, you know, like you said, like even when you have a hamstring injury, you could usually go out and go for a slow jog the next day.
Yeah.
Unless it's really bad, because you're not really activating your hamstrings. But as soon as you go into that full extension is where, you know, you start to see what the problems are.
I've only popped my hamstring once. It's the weirdest feeling. Like, you know when it's gone. Like,
I had a really bad one before.
Which number was that, though? You said you had a few.
Number one. It was it was sort of the kickoff of all those things. So from there, it just became a consistent thing over time. And one that happened like once a season. I'd do my hamstring once a season. Yeah. And it's like 4 to 6 weeks.
So we have our first Unsung Icons package for today. And it's a really, really interesting one. This is from Kalida Popal.
The Unsung Icons.
My name is Kalida Popal. I'm former captain of Afghanistan women's national team and currently leader and founder of God Power organization. I had quite a journey, like long journey from Afghanistan, where I started playing football as a first woman who brought the culture of women's football in the country. But unfortunately, we were attacked by people from society where they took the ball that we were playing with and they damaged that ball. And then they say to us that women belongs to kitchen. Football is not for women and women is not made for football. And that was like the time that we stood up together as a team, as a group of women together, and we stood united and said that we are taking this as a mission in life. We are going to use football as a tool to empower women of our country. We're going to stand for our right and right of women in our country. We were facing a lot of challenges in society. Because, like, basically in like everywhere around the world, football is known as man's game, and especially if women start playing football, even in a well-developed countries, unfortunately the man stands and say like it's something like you're taking from them. It's like, this is ours. You cannot play football because you're women or because you're from different gender. GAPA organization is established in 2014. The idea of establishing my organization came from the time that I was in asylum center and I met women in asylum center where they were suffering from depression and trauma that they had from their country. And the only thing I could help them was through football, through sports. And I used that power again to help the women to come through the depression and stressful situation in asylum centers. And from that time, I started like establish this organization to empower refugees, empower and include refugees in society. Football is a strong tool. Football is a powerful game, and it is, it's exciting, it's a magical game. And that's the only thing I know. I've come over a lot, especially being from a very male-dominated country where women is known as a second class, second citizen of the country, where even like an example where giving a birth to a baby girl is still a taboo or shame in my country. When I see women football, when I see Afghanistan has women's football, when I see FIFA ranking and I see the name of my country, I feel very proud and happy. Because when they told me that you're not allowed to play football and you will embarrass the country, you will embarrass the nation by standing and playing football. Today, when I see women wearing the national team jersey with the badge on the chest, I feel proud. By playing football, I started realizing the power of women. And I love being women because women is powerful. The power, the strength that women has, it's amazing, it's incredible. And it's because of football, and I love that. Football has proven that it brings the society together. Football has proven in so many countries, in so many nations, that it brought the divided communities together, despite the culture, the religion, the color, race, gender. It's about unity, it's about power. And it is a beautiful game. It doesn't matter if how poor you are or how rich you are, if you are the president's son or daughter, or if you're a son or daughter of a regular man. If you have talent, it's a kind of a public game. Like, people love you and they don't see what is your title, who is your father, what is your money, what is their status. But like, it's like you can win so many hearts by playing football and playing on that pitch. Afghanistan is a war-torn country. It's a war zone. It is like decades and decades of war has affected a lot the mindset of people in the society. Like, our generations and generations were kept away from education, and the mindset of man, the way it is made, like, it's the man, that the way that they are brainwashed is that women should be servant, women should be home, women should be just like a machine, produce, clean, wash, and that's the job of women. And then man should go out and do all the things that men need to do, and also sport is for men, but not for women. We are changing the culture, and it is actually changing. And like, after the Taliban left, like, lost the power, and now when we compare now, it is actually, there is a lot of development, and there are, for example, the women's national team, football team, basketball, volleyball, and then there are like few activities in bigger cities than the rural cities. But it's happening. It's change is happening. It takes time.
Copper 90, Football Insider.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult. And that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Kalida there with like an amazing story, watching her describe how hard it was for her to even be able to kick a ball without any backlash.
Yeah.
Was crazy. She comes from a place where, well, she said she comes from a place where, you know, women were treated like, or are treated like, second class citizens. So it's, I don't know, it's bizarre. It's such a mad thing to even think about.
It's really hard to wrap your head around. Yeah. I mean, we saw not a similar thing, but last year when we were in Russia for the World Cup, there was a mentality of sort of like the older post-Soviet era of people coming from this sort of like post-communist era where it was just a different thought process, right? And imagine coming into the era of internet that's connected, but you're being sort of, for a long period, Russia was disconnected, had their own sort of like service, and there was like blockages of outside information. But now it's sort of like the movement of information is free now, but there's still a connection to like this old thinking and the sort of torn-ness. Imagine growing up in Afghanistan as a second class citizen because you're a female, and then having the connection to the rest of the world, knowing that it's a completely different place out there.
Yeah.
It's bad enough if that's the only thing you ever knew. But when you know that there is a free world where, you know, the U.S. women's national team are fighting for equal pay, not the ability to just
play,
to not even play. Like, her story goes way deeper than that. Just like on every level of just like the most basic of rights, you know, in the way of Saudi, like fighting for years for women to be able to drive. Like, it's a completely different, like, world of complexities and sadness that isn't about, feels like decades and decades or hundreds of years apart in terms of what people are fighting for, and all valid causes, obviously.
In a sense, I guess we're so far removed from what that is like, which is why it's really important for stories to be shared like this. Obviously, I think every woman who plays football has got their own story of, you know, having to play with the boys when they were younger or not being able to find a club. But the fact that she feared for her life when she played football is crazy.
I can tell you this. If I were to read something like that online, right, some years ago when I was younger, I would have trouble believing it because it's so far from the reality that we live.
Yeah,
I'd be
exactly.
Like, yeah, there's no, like, you're telling me women can't, like, even kick a football around? Literally, it's so hard in the world that we come from to believe that there's a place that exists of humans that think, breathe, do everything that we do, but have zero freedom of expression, of rights. It's like you said, it's impossible for me to even understand or begin to understand what that's like. I just know that it's really fucked up.
Yeah. She was such a cool person as well. Like, really just humble, actually. And when you think about all the shit that she's been through and to come out that humble, and there was no real, like, hatred in what she was saying, which would be quite an easy thing to go to, you know, to hate, to feel really bitter about something. But she just wanted to do right by the women that were in the same situation as her once upon a time, or still are.
And not to get too political on things, but a lot of tensions and problems and rallying of people is when they're down and filled with hatred, right? Mm. To turn them towards something negative or towards groups of people that aren't creating difference in the world. Like, we see different factions around the world that are all fueled by hatred, right? You've been scorned, you've been, you know, you've been treated poorly, you're this, you're that, and it's all coming from this other place, whether they say the West or the East or whoever it is. And it feels like hatred with hatred, like misery loves company, and somehow she's found a way to sort of be positive with everything, which is amazing because the world needs somebody like her continuing to push that messaging out there, and it's up to us now to continue to help push that forward as well.
Yeah, it'd be great to see Afghanistan in the World Cup. That'd be sick. I wonder when they'll make it for the first time. That would be amazing. Or I wonder who's going to be like the surprise teams for next World Cup.
So they're a ranked FIFA team.
They are a ranked FIFA team now, yeah. I think they're currently FIFA ranked at 142 or something like that. But on to somebody that has played in a World Cup before and also has a very, very interesting story. This is Farah Williams.
Detours, dead ends and destinations.
As a female growing up, opportunities to play, I think, were very limited. I didn't really know anything or about any clubs, grassroots clubs that I can go and play. It was more go to youth club and just play there with the lads. And yeah, that's where my kind of career took off, just playing with boys and not really knowing anything about women's football and probably never really thinking that female football would ever be, you know, where it is today. I just wanted to be better than the boys. I remember playing and all of them were boys and I was the only girl on the estate that played. My sister played for a little bit. She wasn't as good as me, and that's why she retired, really, at 11. yeah, I just wanted to be better than my brothers. I was so competitive with my brothers. I think it was just a case of how good can I be, and I always wanted to beat them. And then it wasn't until I was 12 and I was in a tournament, five-a-side tournament, that I got picked up in Fulham. But obviously, being a Chelsea supporter, that wasn't the route I wanted to take. So I only lasted a year there before I then signed for Chelsea as a young player.
And then sort of later in your teen years, it was documented that you were still playing while you ended up homeless for a little bit. How long were you homeless? Was it six years?
Yeah. But it was. I wasn't really in the hostel for that period of time because I obviously was signed to the hostel for that period of time, but I didn't actually live in it for that period of time. But it was just a base in case, you know, things failed. I was travelling to Everton at the time for a couple of years while I was there. It was. You know what? I just see it as it was home at the time. As I say, football was my. I had England, which was a massive focus for me, wanting to be the best player I could be at England, and as I say, Everton at the time, and I had, you know, good coaches in Hope and Mo Marley, who really guided me in the right way.
I guess like going to football and training, sort of gave you that, like, not normality, but like you had something to work and drive towards. So it's not like you didn't have anything to build on. You had everything to build on in that way, and like a family, I guess, like another football family as well. How many times were you training, like a week when you were...
No, I trained every day in the hospital. Yeah, and that was the easy part. I think, as you say, if I was living at home anywhere, I'd probably do the same routine. I'd train and go home. But yeah, the difficulty was seeing other people. They had nowhere to go. You know, the first hostel I went into, we had to be out of it by 8:30 in the morning. You weren't allowed to return till 6. So I had training. I could go and do things and be with people. I had a good, you know, set of friends that I could go and, you know, certainly I showered and stuff in their house and sat in it with them. So I was quite lucky. It was, you know, the other people that was probably more vulnerable than me in that situation where at 8:30 when you get kicked out and you're on the street, where do they go? Did they have a job? You know, that was just the standard of the hostel that they were in.
What was it like living in that environment, which could be seen as quite negative, but then like in the day being in like a really positive one when you'd come back and like see people that you had to live with?
I didn't really, you know what, I got to know one of the person, one girl, she was really vulnerable. She was somebody that nobody engaged with when in the hostel, and I felt a little bit sorry for her. Her name was Vanessa. She was real vulnerable, but she was somebody that I only spoke to now and then. I don't know why, as I say, I had my football and my focus was there, and I didn't really get caught up in the whole hostel lifestyle in going on the streets, and most of them, you know, turned to drink, drugs. So I was lucky that I had football and it was an escape for me to come away from that kind of environment. So I didn't really see everything, but I just know when, you know, in the evening when I'd come back, there'd be lads up and down and girls and just on the street. So I was able to switch off and get away from it.
When was a turning point for you? When did you see football as a career, or did you always see football as a career?
No, I never ever seen it as a career. There was never money in women's football for it to be a career. At the time I was in hostel, I was doing, you know, silly little jobs, sandwich shop and Safeways at the time, and in a bakery. I mean, I got to eat, so both of them jobs were quite convenient considering I needed food at the time. They were a good job, but I was never ashamed. Like, I was always somebody that knew I had to work, and you know, to pay for training, I had to work. We had to pay £5 a training session back then.
That's crazy.
So yeah, there was no other way of doing it other than to go and work. So I chose that over education. Do I regret it now? A little bit, I do, because I look at, you know, I'm nearly coming to the end of my career. I'm trying to think, you know, what direction do I go in? I know I enjoy coaching and could probably take that route, but yeah, I would have liked to have got some qualifications behind me other than coaching as an option. But yeah, I had to work to play, and yeah, football was just something that, as I say, it wasn't out in many different ways, not just when I was homeless, like growing up as a kid, just getting out there, kicking a ball, released so much from, yeah, what was going on at home.
You've played in a really pivotal moment in women's football. You've seen it in the sort of days where it wasn't established very well, and like you said, you'd have to pay to play, which just actually sounds bonkers now. And obviously now young girls are getting signed up quite early. I think there was a girl in the States got signed, she was like 13.
Oh, really?
Which, so it's a short amount of period of time, realistically, but so much has changed. How's it been being one of those people that's seen it transform?
Yeah, I just think I appreciate it more. Yeah. I think I never thought it was going to happen. I think, not to say that the young players now coming in don't appreciate it, but there's certainly a different value to it for the older generation of players that are still involved and have gone through that transition. I think, you know, we've had the respect that we have for the people that was before, the people that was during that period that helped us, and then obviously the ones that retired now that we're still going. I think that's the only difference. I think the younger players now have, it's bad to say they have it on the plate, but they do. They have it very easy now. They didn't have to, you won't see now in the women's game any good young talent having to go and graft and work and manage, juggle football and, you know, life. I think, you know, they're in a good environment where now you get paid very well to do what you love, and rightly so. I think, you know, it's took a long time for women's football to get where it is, and I just hope they appreciate it and, you know, grab it with both hands. But whilst it's good, I hope we don't overboard where it buckles and it goes like the American League did a few years back, where, yeah, you know, we pay too much and we can't afford to keep up with it. I hope it steadily progresses like it has done. And, you know, I know now with Barclays taking over as a massive deal, I just hope that, yeah, we're stable. I hope that we're stable.
Are you glad that you went through that sort of like historical period and you were part of that?
Yeah, definitely. I learned so much as a player. Like, growing up with people that actually had to work and come and train, and like when they come to training, it meant so much. Not, as I say, it's different to compare it now. We have to, it's our job now. So there's days where, you know, people are moaning. I think, you know what, you wasn't there when you had to go and work for 9 hours or whatever and then come and train. So whilst it's your job and you're doing it for 2 hours, don't moan.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only difference, like seeing it where we're only training, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week, a day for 5 days a week. It's nothing for what we're getting paid. And what we're getting paid now, we weren't getting paid back then,
yeah,
as, you know, in the supermarket as I was working or whatever else. So, yeah, appreciate it whilst it's here. I just think, yeah, it was difficult for me as a young player. I wish I had the opportunities that there are now, and, yeah, they should be grateful for them. I think they're fantastic now that the women's game is where it is.
Hashtag Copper90 Icons.
When she told me, or when I had a moment to step away from that conversation that we had and I sort of collected my thoughts and thought, at one point she was technically homeless, she was making sandwiches in a shop for a job, and she was paying to play for her country, I was just like, what the fuck? And it wasn't even that long ago.
It's crazy to think that the story that we all love, right? Not necessarily love, but we cherish and we look for in the men's game is this miraculous, once in a lifetime, against all odds, I've made it. We make a documentary out of it.
Yeah.
This story that we love so much is the majority, like could be a film about 95% of women in football.
Yeah.
Because the minority, the rare, rare story that we all search the world for now is literally right next door. And it's most women have a crazy story on their journey to getting where they're going. And that's a spectacular one too. I mean, unique in itself, but like the majority of them have these, not necessarily that type of story, but a story that's worth hearing.
Yeah, where are Netflix at? They need to do a serious documentary on some of the women's players that are involved in this World Cup and in past World Cups too.
The idea should be that you're growing the game and the sport to a point where these stories no longer exist.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? When you want to tell that story, you've got to research that for a year to find that story, or you got to research forever instead of saying, hey, you're a professional footballer, what's your story? And you go, holy shit. And then they go, what, you think mine's crazy? Ask the person sitting next to me. And you want to eliminate those for the next generations.
Guess what, production companies? We've done the research for you. and now you've listened to it on the podcast, and so go make a film about it.
Yeah, share their messaging.
And you can give me Heath credit if you like, you know, fancy it.
That's so cool. Even photo credit would
yeah,
be fine.
That's cool. Yeah, or just a review.
Post a picture and yeah, review us on everywhere you get your podcasts from.
So that's it. Another one done. Another podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. And I hope you've enjoyed us. Please leave us a review if you have, or you know what, if you haven't, you can leave us a review too.
Yeah, it's never too late. And sign up for the newsletter. Head to copa90.com/WC19 and click or tap on Copa 90 France Daily to sign up. And also, go to copa90.com and go into our store. We've got a store now. Mm-hmm. Lots of cool stuff. And centered around the World Cup. So don't miss out on those. Get your merch here. And get in touch with us because we'd love to hear from you. Send us emails and voice notes to footballinsideout@copa90.com. We'd love to share your thoughts on the show. And tweet us using the hashtag Copa90InsideOut. And we will see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
This is a We Are Great production for Copa90.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.